beautiful day. Amen. And good to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. Well, we're starting a brand new series of studies today on Bible characters from Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. And these books are called wisdom literature. And wisdom is a great gift. You know, you can be real smart and not very wise. Amen. Because wisdom is a gift. And I think we see a lot of that in our present culture. People that are very educated, very smart people. But they lack wisdom. And thank God for wisdom. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. God wants people to be wise. It has been said that the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. So if you read one chapter of Proverbs each day, then you would read it through every month, basically. And I know a pastor, a friend of mine, he recommends that all of the new converts that come into his church read the book of Proverbs through every month for 2 years. And the reason he recommends that is that after 21 repetitions, then your mind is supposed to form new habits. So he feels like if people will read the book of Proverbs through 21 times, then they'll get the message and they'll get wisdom. And there's something to that, isn't there? So that might be a wise thing. Amen. Somebody wants to accept that challenge today, and I think it's great. Just read the book of Proverbs one chapter a day. That's not very much, and there's a lot of wisdom to be gained. Of course, Proverbs is a book that is accredited to Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, though even though he was wise, he did some dumb stuff. You know, wise people can do dumb things too, and Solomon certainly did. Amen. But I think in the end he learned his lesson. I guess he did, and I believe he did, because his name appears in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews as being in the Heroes Hall of Fame. So I think at the end he finally got it together. He took a drastic detour, but finally he arrived and did a good thing. Amen. And so wisdom is very, very vital. As Oscar Wilde that said, the cynic knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. And I think we do live in a time when people certainly know prices, but they don't understand value. You know, I heard about a woman that brought her family here from a country to live in this great nation of ours, and her children fell into the materialistic trap that's here. And one day she loaded them up and she said, we're going back home. And they said, why, Mom? She said, that's why. Because you know the price of everything, but you don't know the value of anything. Amen. They had $100 tennis shoes and all the rest of it. She said, but you don't understand. It's not about the price of things. It's about the value. And we're going home where our values were. So value is important, isn't it? Wisdom is like that. All right, so we're going to study today about one of our favorite characters in the Bible. His name is Job. We're going to study about fearing God and hating evil. And that's exactly what Job did. He feared God and he hated evil. Respect, godly fear is necessary for an individual to have a right relationship with God. Proper respect for God will cause one to hate evil. Amen. And that's true. Our focus verse is from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And then our scripture text is 1 through 5, and then 20 and 22. And let me go to the second verse. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep, isn't it? 3,000 camels, those were his trucks. 500 yoke of oxen, that was his tractors. And 500 she asses, that was his pickup trucks. And the very great household, so that this man was greatest of all the men of the East. That's a pretty good trucking company, isn't it? And it said, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sinned and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. So he was a conscious father as far as wanting his children to be saved. Amen. And then verse 20 to 22, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Scholars say that the book of Job is the oldest book of literature in the Bible. It was written, as far as chronologically, it was written before Genesis. It was Job lived before Abraham. He was one of the ancients. And I find it very interesting that the first book that in the Bible that was ever written talked about the subject of human suffering. People have been suffering for a long time. But Job suffered triumphantly. Now, some people suffer pitifully. But Job suffered triumphantly. So he has a very great lesson to teach us today. One of the exilic prophets by the name of Ezekiel was looking for inspiration at a time when Israel desperately needed heroes. And from the history of Israel, he chose three individuals. He chose one by the name of Noah, one by the name of Daniel, and then, of course, he chose Job to inspire Israel in a very, very difficult time. Now, Noah, of course, we understand, lived in a very difficult time. The Bible said that in the time of Noah, the world was very, very wicked. And yet Noah was a righteous man. So he chose Noah to tell Israel that no matter how bad things may be around you and how wicked people may be around you, you can be righteous. You can live righteously and godly in this ungodly world. He was trying to impart a message to them that it is possible. The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It said Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Amen. I think we're living in a time when we still have to make an important decision about how we want to live our lives. There's a lot of wickedness around us. And there's opportunity every direction. But thank God that in this generation there are still people like Noah that find grace in the eyes of God. And we choose to walk in righteousness and not join in the world and its wickedness. So then Noah was a man that God selected and God chose to stand out in that particular time. Then the scripture says, I didn't see this, but we'll check it out here. All right. Noah was just. Noah heard from God, and he walked with God. Amen. And those are three great characteristics. He was just, he heard from God, and he walked with God in the wicked times. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel heard from God, and Daniel prayed daily in opposition. I wish this would have come a little later, but they put it here, so I guess we'll do it here. Job was perfect and upright. He heard nothing from God until his trial ended, and he worshiped in suffering. By faith, Noah warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we know then that Noah, following after the Lord, did great things. Notice here it says that he heard from the Lord. He was warned of God. God told him what he was going to do, and he responded to that. And he built the ark as God requested, and in doing so, saved not only himself, but his household. And Noah is obviously a very great man and an inspiration to Israel in a time when they certainly needed inspiration. And then, of course, there was Daniel. Daniel also was a man that the Bible says he had an excellent spirit. And I like people that have an excellent spirit. And that's what he had. Daniel was a man with an excellent spirit. He was a gentleman. Daniel also lived in a tough time. He was an exile. While he was very young, he was taken out of Israel. He was a young man that was extremely intelligent and looked like he had a very bright future. But Israel was taken at that time captive by the Babylonians. He was taken into Babylonian captivity. But even his enemies saw an excellent spirit in Daniel. And you know what? It's a good thing if you can just, if you have a good attitude and a good spirit. What does the Bible say? It said a man's gifts will make room for him. Amen. If you go ahead and have an excellent spirit and exhibit the gifts God gave you, they're going to make a place for you. Amen. We live in a world where too many people are just making excuses about stuff. Amen. Go ahead and just, you know, life really doesn't owe you a whole lot. Amen. You're not owed a whole lot. One thing we have in this country that people are blessed with is opportunity. And if you take opportunities, then you'll be blessed, and you can be blessed in your life. Daniel was a man that God had his hand on, and he refused to take part in things that he were against his convictions, and God honored that. Of course, Daniel is very famous for spending the night in a den of lions. I always like to point out that he did not spend the night in the lion's den. Some people say the lion's den. He didn't. I personally wouldn't necessarily mind spending the night in the lion's den as long as the lion's not there. So there's a lot of difference in a lion's den and a den of lions. Daniel spent the night in a den of lions. And Leo was present with all his company. His family was there. Amen. And that's a different story. God preserved Daniel in the den of lions. Now we know that they were real and they were hungry and they were ferocious, because when Daniel was delivered, they threw in the soldiers or the men that had accused him, and they quickly regained their appetite. Amen. And they consumed human flesh. So God protected Daniel because Daniel stood up for what was right. Now that's a beautiful story, and that inspires us that if we stand for God, that God's going to stand with us, and He'll protect us and He'll take care of us. Amen. And then Ezekiel selected Job. Now Job's a different story. Job is it's a troubling story, because Job was a good man. The Bible said he was perfect. The Bible said he was upright. And he should not have had to go through what he went through. God did not protect Job like he did Daniel. He did not. And as we saw a moment ago, you know, Daniel had the scriptures with him. God spoke directly to Noah and said, Noah, this is what I'm going to do, build an ark. And he had a word from God. Job didn't have any of that. We find no record that God communicated with Job at all. He didn't have a Bible because he lived before the Bible was written. He didn't have the Holy Ghost like we have the Holy Ghost today. All Job had was an unfailing faith in God. Job had perhaps the most pure example of faith we'll find in the Scripture. Faith is simply trusting God. Simply trusting God. Now, there are people that believe that faith is a force almost of its own. Now, I don't believe that. But there are some people that do. And so they feel like that if you have enough faith, then you can make anything happen. I don't believe that. No, I don't. Because they also believe that fear is a negative of faith. And remember, Job said this. He said, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. So there are people that believe, Job's friends did, that this negative faith brought destruction upon his family. Now, I don't believe that. Amen. Because the Bible tells us what happened. We have the story here. And Job didn't do anything to deserve what happened to him. Sometimes in life, you're not going to do anything to deserve your circumstances. Things are going to happen to you that you don't deserve. You're good and you've been good. And yet bad things are going to happen in your life. And you're going to wonder, why did this happen to me? It seems unfair. And the devil's going to tell you that if God loved you, and he really did, and you were a child of God, that this kind of thing wouldn't happen to people like you. So there must be something wrong with you. And that's what the devil's going to say. And that's what Job went through. Not only did the devil say it, but a lot of his friends said it. Went through some really, really difficult times. But Bible faith is simply trusting God. We live in a day when, as I said, some people teach faith as a force that it's like almost like a coin that you insert in some kind of a mythical machine, and you pull a handle and down rain blessings from God because you have faith. Amen. There are people that teach if you have enough faith, you'll be wealthy. If you have enough faith, you know, you can be healed of anything, anytime. Nothing bad is ever going to happen to you because you have faith. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Jesus Christ was not a wealthy man. His apostles were not wealthy men. Did they suffer? Yes, they suffered. They died martyrs' deaths. Amen. You read the story of Paul and his sufferings for the sake of the gospel. You see, their goal was not material greed, and it wasn't to accumulate a bunch of stuff. Their goal was to preach the gospel to every creature, just like Jesus said. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the materialism of the age that we live in, and we can clothe all of that in the garment of Christianity. Amen. And instead of being about our Father's business, which is to preach the gospel to the whole world, it's not about driving fancy cars and living in big houses. Amen. It's about reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what our job is. And we must not ever forget that. Amen. And yet we have a great message people are preaching today. It's a comfortable message. It's an inviting message. But it's not a biblical message. Amen. Our job is to preach the gospel, isn't it? Amen. And so faith is simply trusting God. When you don't understand, trust God. Amen. When you don't know what's happening or why it's happening, trust God. That's what Job did. James wrote this about Job. He said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And then he said, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy." Amen. And so he's writing to remind us, amen, of the patience of Job, the endurance of Job. Amen. Job was steadfast through so much. Job's character, amen. And what a great, great character Job had. The Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Aren't these some, these are some very, very great characteristics. Amen. And these are things that all of us would do well to emulate. He was perfect. He was upright. He feared God. And he eschewed evil. Those are some great recommendations there today. Job's trust in God made him perfect. Amen. And we'll discuss that word perfect in just a moment. He was complete. When we think of perfect, we think of the way God's perfect. Amen. No human being will ever be perfect as God is perfect. God is without any kind of error. But humans can be perfect in the sense that we're complete, in the sense that we are ethical. Those are good words, in the sense that we are undefiled. And so this was what Job was. He was all of those things. He was a pure man. He was a man that did his very best. Amen. Colossians 4:12 said that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Job was that man. He would be the first to tell you that he was not perfect in the sense that he had never made a mistake, and that he was not going to ever make a mistake. He would be the first to tell you that that was not him. But morally, he was a good man, and he was striving to do right. And ethically, he was a good man. He was complete. He was whole, and all of those aspects. And so that's what Job was. Amen. Job was he was upright. Upright means that he was a man that was doing what was right in the eyes of God. And that's what an upright person does. They just do what's right in the eyes of God. And that's not always easy, is it? But it's what upright people do. They follow what's right in the sight of God. And I think that's what we're trying to do here today. Amen. And then Job, the Bible said, was a man that feared God. Well, this word fear has and I think reverence is an excellent word that has fear in it. I often think of my relationship with my parents, my dad especially. There was a time when I always loved my father as long as I can remember. But there was a time that I obeyed my dad because I was afraid of him. Or maybe I should say, I was afraid what he would do if I did not. You know, he was patriotic, as I've said. He gave stripes and I saw stars. He was a patriotic father. My dad believed in discipline. I was not abused, but he did believe that, he was the kind of person who didn't give a whole lot of warnings. He expected you to do what he said. My dad would give us a warning, and he'd say, "Now don't do that again. If you did it again, that was it. There was no more warnings after that." Amen. We knew that. We knew that he would come in the mornings, and generally my dad woke us up. He would come back to our room, and I could hear his heavy footsteps. And he'd come in, and he'd say, "All right, boys, time to get up." And, well... then if we didn't, when he came back, you better be standing on the floor. You may not have made much progress, but you better be out of the bed. And so we always listened, of course, for the second set of footsteps. But by the time he got to that door, we were on the floor. Amen. And if you weren't, it was not a good thing. So my dad was, I had fear of and respect that he would honor his word. And do, if he said not to do it, that meant don't do it. I knew that. But in time, as I grew in maturity and our relationship, it wasn't that I loved my dad for fear that I would, that he would spank me. I grew to respect him to the point that I didn't want to disappoint him. I wanted to do things that would not disappoint because I honored him. And I think that's the kind of reverence we're talking about with God. It's not, yes, we fear the judgment of God, and we should. Oh, that we would never forget that there is a judgment. And there really is. That there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. That we would remember that there is a judgment of God. But at the same time, we need to grow to a point where we don't live for God as fire insurance, you know, so that we don't go to hell, but that we'll live for God because we honor Him and we want to please Him and bring honor to His name. That's the kind of reverence that we grow into. And really, I believe that's the only way that anybody can love God or can reverence God, is not to live for Him just out of a sense of fear that He's up there with a lightning bolt waiting for you to step out of line so He can fry you. That's not a healthy view of God, is it? Amen. That's not the way it is. If He wanted to fry you, you'd be a crispy critter already. Amen. God's not out to get you. He's out to save you. He's out to help you. And but he had reverence for God. He feared God. And that's what the Scripture means when it says that he feared God, is that he had a reverence for the Lord. He wanted to please God because he loved Him. Amen. And we want to please God also because we love Him. Amen. Job's life was a covenant with God. I'm not sure about Job's kids. It's kind of limited what we hear about them. It doesn't sound like they were doing much with their life. It sounded like they were party people, doesn't it? There were seven of them, so every day they got together at one another's house and had a party. I don't know if that's what it was, but it sounds that way. But whatever they were doing, it concerned Job. Now, we know this was before the Mosaic Law, because after the Mosaic Law, there was a priesthood that was established. And the priest offered the sacrifices in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. But Job offered sacrifices for his family, so that tells us he preceded Moses. And so out of concern for his children, the Bible says that Job offered sacrifices every day. He offered, I suppose, 10 sacrifices, because he offered up one for each of his children. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And he was fearful that they had done something wrong. And so he wanted to make a covenant with God that would cover his children. Amen. I admire his love for his children. And it's good that of course, today we don't offer sacrifices. There's only one sacrifice that will appease for sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other sacrifice that can do that. And so what we do today is we plead the blood of Jesus over our children, right? Amen. And parents, if you have children that are not serving the Lord today, you just keep praying, believing God. Amen. You just keep, just like Job, you just stay with it. Amen. Day after day. How many testimonies have we heard of people that were faithful in prayer, and in time, God turned things around? Amen. I think often of my dear friend, Brother McDaniel, telling me about one of his children, his eldest son, and how he'd tell me. He would say, he said, I'm praying. But said he, when I talked to him, he said, he's so hard. That was his word. He said, he's just so hard. He was not, it didn't seem like he had any interest whatsoever in God or serving God. And it broke his heart. A great, great minister and man of God for so many years. And he would tell me that. He's so hard, Johnny. He's so hard. And then one day he called me and he said, oh, he said, I got to tell you. He said he prayed through the other night and got refilled in the Holy Ghost, and he's a new man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he just held on praying, and wasn't long. God was so merciful, because he didn't know perhaps at the time that he had cancer, and he didn't survive but a few months after he prayed through. Amen. But God was merciful. I think it was the prayers of that father. Like Job, he just kept pouring out his heart to God. And God saved that son before he went on to be with the Lord. And so prayer, folks, it's still just like in Job's day. He offered sacrifice. You offered the sacrifice of prayer. And God is still going to come through. Job's faith was grounded in God. You know, you can have faith in a lot of things. Isn't that right? We have faith. Every time you turn a light on, you have faith in the electric company. And when the light comes on, you don't get all excited and say, ooh, the light came on. You just expect it. If the light doesn't come on, that's when you're surprised. Because you have faith that it's going to. Same thing when you turn the key in your automobile and the engine starts up. That's just what you expect. You don't get excited about it. Now, if it doesn't start, that's when you get excited. Because you have faith in whoever made that vehicle. So we have faith in all kinds of things. Amen. But Job's faith was grounded in God. Genuinely in God. Now, I want to say that his faith was not just founded in God's blessings. Some people's faith's founded in God's blessings. And if they're not getting blessings, then their faith in God wavers. And we're going to find out, you see, that Job's faith was not just in God's blessings, it was in God. Period. It went deeper than his blessing. Somebody said, often we seek God's hands instead of God's heart. We want what God can provide for us more than the heart of God. And so Job, his faith was literally and surely founded actually in God himself and not just in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And so he was greatly influenced. And I don't know where Job's faith came from. As I said, that was before Scripture. Job's the first book that was written. We don't even know for sure who wrote it. But it was the first book of the Bible. And so it predated Genesis and all the rest. He didn't have any scriptures. He didn't have the Holy Ghost as we have the Holy Ghost today, because the New Testament, our New Covenant had not been given, and so he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. So where did this faith come from? How did this man have this kind of faith? I don't know what his relationship with God was. I don't know where it came from. I do know this. The Bible said faith comes by hearing. So somehow he heard about God. I don't know if there was a teacher, if there was a preacher. I don't know if at some time the Lord had spoken to Job and revealed himself. I don't know about that. But I do know that Job had a huge and tremendous faith in God. Amen. And then we also know that the Lord had confidence in Job. You know, the Bible says that God looks on the heart, right? And that's what happened. God looked at Job's heart and he knew what was there. And he had such confidence in Job. Amen. That when Satan came into the presence of God, and we don't know how that happened, huh? Except God just allowed him to come in. And so Satan comes, and the Lord says, "Where have you been?" Satan said, "Going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Now that's God's testimony concerning Job. If God gave a testimony concerning Johnny Grissom, I don't know what it would say. But this is what his testimony about Job said. He said he's perfect, he's upright, he fears God, and he hates evil. Now that's God's testimony. Isn't that amazing? What a beautiful testimony. God had confidence in Job. And then Satan responded, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Amen. This was the devil's doing. He said, "Oh," he said, "yeah, no wonder Job loves you. Look what you've done for him." Amen. And God said, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." And we know what happened, that they took away all of his possessions, his sheep and his cattle and his camels and his donkeys. Everything that he had was taken. And everything that belonged to him, his children died. They were destroyed in a storm. Everything happened. And in just one day's time, can you imagine something that tragic? Of course, we are saddened by this streak of storms that has gone through the Mideast over in the east part of the country here and taken so much life and destroyed so much stuff. But here's a man that had everything one day and had nothing the next day. What a loss. What a loss. Amen. It wasn't like he'd lose it and then kind of get over it, but he lost it all. And there was nothing left. But even though he lost it all, he didn't lose his faith, did he? Storms of life did not shake Job's confidence. He lost all of his stuff. Everybody say stuff. There it is again. I've watched people start getting kind of shaky when they started losing some stuff. They'd lose something, they'd say, "What am I going to do?" Well, you will keep trusting God. "What about my beautiful house?" Well, you'll find a smaller one. Amen. Well, is that all right? That's all right, Brother Grissom. That's the truth. You're helping me out here today. Amen. You better not love stuff too much. Amen. I hear people sometimes, "I love this and I love that." You be careful about loving stuff. Amen. You better save your love for God and for your loved ones, people. Don't you get too much in love with stuff, because stuff's not real certain. You may have it today and it could be gone tomorrow. So that's what happened to Job. All of his stuff was taken away from him. And suddenly, he didn't have any. All of it was gone. Amen. And it's good to remind ourselves, count your blessings. Amen. And when you look at your stuff, be thankful. But don't get too wrapped up in it. Amen. It can go away. Amen. Job's worshipful response to trouble. These are awesome verses that we have here. Job arose. He rent his mantle, that was his garment. He tore it. That was a sign of grief when they did that. He said he shaved his head, and that was a sign of humility. And he fell down upon the ground, and hear this word, and worshipped. Everybody say, and worshipped. All of his stuff was gone. When he heard all of it was gone, he worshiped God. My, what an awesome faith. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. That's a good thing to remember. You didn't come in this world with pockets, and you ain't leaving with pockets. He said, the Lord gave. And I want you to notice this. He didn't say the devil. He said, the Lord has taken away. He acknowledged that God had taken some things away from him. But then he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I have heard people accuse God, especially in the face of death. Why did God do this and why did God do that? But instead of saying why, Job just went ahead and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. It was his to give. It was his to take. Brother Arliss Glass, when he lost his wife to death, he understood that after she was gone, God took what was his, which was her spirit and her soul. And he left the body here for a time. And then one day he'll resurrect that. And so we need to understand that we belong to God. Your loved ones belong to God. And eventually we're going to go to God. And so if we can understand that, it kind of helps us. As a matter of fact, though we lose, we have this great sense of loss when we lose a loved one, but there should also be a sense of joy about it, because if they're saved, we know they're going to something so much better than what's here. Amen. Isn't that right? Praise God. I think sometimes we take too much of our clue from the world and how they grieve. Amen. The Bible said we should not grieve as they which have no hope, because we have hope. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so it should be different for Christians. Amen. And I love verse 22. It said, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Isn't that great? He didn't go into some kind of a tirade against God, or even into a pity party. Why me? Woe is me. Look what I've lost. He didn't do that. He didn't charge God foolishly. He just simply said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And so Job responded in such a favorable way. Now God knew this because he knew Job's heart. He knew that Job did not love his stuff more than he loved God. And that even though he lost his stuff, he would maintain his integrity with God. And the beautiful thing is that he did, and Satan had to be astounded, because he didn't think he could do it. Hallelujah. And God just absolutely proved him wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, would you and I be willing to go through something like that? Would we allow God to use us that way? Without complaining? Amen. I wonder sometimes we want to be soul winners, but would we be willing to go through some suffering or go to prison to win a soul? Would I be willing to do that? Would I be willing to go to the hospital with some sickness if I could meet somebody there and witness to them and they could be saved? Would I be willing to do that? See, there is an element here. We ask God to use us and we give ourselves to the Lord, and God will do some great things, but we may have to pay some price to do some things for God. And God knows our heart, and He knows whether we can do that or not. Amen. And He'll not ask it of us if we can't do it. But if you can do it, then God will ask you to do certain things. Amen. Does that make any sense to anybody? Amen. Sometimes I've wondered, you know, I read about people's experiences with God and how they've had these, you know, visions and God's talked to them, and all kinds of angels came and talked to them. And I've said, you know, why haven't I had that? Why hadn't God ever done that for me? And the conclusion that I've come to is, well, I guess He doesn't have to. Amen. I just, whatever He tells me to do, I just do it. I've tried to make a few bargains with God. You ever tried to make a deal with God? I've made a few. I told the Lord one time, I said, God, if You'll heal me, I've dealt with allergies and asthma my whole life. And I hate that because at times it's hard to breathe. And so I've dealt with that. And so I told God, you know, if you'll take this away from me, I'll be a missionary. Well, you know what? I was a missionary anyway. Amen. And I still struggle with the same problem I had before I was a missionary. He still hadn't taken it away. Amen. But you know what? I still did what He asked me to do. Praise the Lord. So it's not about making a deal with God. You just go ahead and do what you know is right to do and just do it anyway. Amen. Because I know better. I know what's expected of me. And even though I don't always get what I'd like and maybe what others have experienced, God knows what I need. And so He deals with me that way. And that's good enough. That's good enough. Job refused to blame God. Job refused to blame God. Amen. And, you know, Job even lost his wife's support. That had to be tough. Now, to give her her due, she lost what Job lost. When all of Job's wealth was taken away, hers was taken away. When those children died, those were her kids too. But she just didn't have the foundation that Job had. And apparently she became very angry, perhaps bitter. And she said, "Dost thou still retain that integrity? Curse God and die." Sounds like a bitter person to me. And so she did not fare well through all of this. But even though Job, you ever had a boil? Or a rising, they call them. I've had several of them. And I had one just not too long ago, and boy, that thing hurt. I couldn't sleep. It would hurt at night, hurt all day long. And I thought, man, this is bad. I won't go into all the gory details. This is bad. It went on for over a month. It was a horrible ordeal. And that one went in another one. That one went, another one came. So it got pretty bad there for a little while. But Job had those things, it said, from his head to his feet. And he literally went out and decided, well, the best place for me to go. And he went out to the old trash heap where they threw away pottery. And he had this pottery, and he could reach up and he could scrape the top off of those boils, sitting ashes. And he was in pretty bad shape. As a matter of fact, when his friends came to see him, they sat there and just looked at him for 7 days and cried. And that was the good part. After that, they opened their mouth. It would have been better if they just would have sat there and cried. But then they started speaking, and it got even worse. But Job refused to blame God. He said, "Thou speakest as a foolish woman. What? Have we received good from the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" He had a very healthy understanding, didn't he? And life's going to bring you some good things, and life's going to bring you some bad things. Just the way life is. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Time and chance happeneth to us all. If you drop a jar of pickles, breaks and scatters all over the floor, that doesn't mean the devil's after you. It just means you dropped a jar of pickles. You didn't get the parking place you wanted, it doesn't mean that God's against you and He's punishing you. It just means somebody beat you to the parking place. Even there are some things in life that are just life. Amen. You get a cold, the devil didn't give you a cold, you just were susceptible and you got it. Amen. I know there's people that believe that differently. I'm sorry, but that's the way I believe it. I don't believe that the devil gives me any disease I have. I believe that, for one thing, that we are genetically inclined to certain things, and some things are just going to happen. Amen. My family happens to have heart problems, so in time it caught up with me. That's just the way it is. Amen. So that's life. Is God. And can God heal? Absolutely God can heal. And I wish He would. I want Him to. Believe I've asked Him to. And He, so far, He's been merciful and gracious because I'm still here. Amen. I've had two heart attacks and open heart surgery and some stents put in, but praise God. Here we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Still able to do whatever it is I need to do. So that's God's grace, isn't it? It is to me. Man, is that the way I would have chosen it? No. But I'm just grateful for God's grace, God's mercy. Amen. Don't charge God. Amen. Don't get mad at God because any of those things. You just, some of it's life. And you just get on with it. Job hated evil. Somebody say, Job hated evil. He hated evil. Amen. He would not give in to it. And we've got to hate evil. Amen. We've got to be able to recognize it and then hate it and not be influenced by it, as so many are. So he refused to be influenced by evil. Amen. Adversity, Job's faith shined the brightest. Amen. He didn't allow these things, the travesties that came his way, to destroy him, but he maintained his integrity with God. Amen. He refused to be influenced or misguided by counsel. We talked about Job's friends, and Job's friends sat down, and they tried to figure out what was wrong with him. Well, you know, there are some things, and now, I do know that not all sin is brought on by circumstances, but we can do things that will bring certain things upon us. Right? Amen. I've heard people say this. Well, you know, it's just as bad to think something as it is to say it. Well, that's not true. There are certain things, if you say, you have a good chance of getting a black eye. And as long as you think it, you probably won't. But if you open your mouth and say it to the wrong person, there are going to be consequences. Whereas if you think it, then it's just between you and God, and you can deal with God. And God's not going to give you a black eye, but somebody else might. Amen. So there are things that we do that can very much affect us in life. But if we'll just hang on to our confidence and not give in, then chances are we're not going to suffer some of the things we would suffer otherwise. Amen. And we're going to read it again. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Is that true? The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now, we know what happened, that Job, in the end, he had twice as much as he had in the beginning. But if you had asked Job, would you be willing to go through this to get twice as much at the end, he would have said no. And I don't blame him. Now, you and I know this. You cannot ever replace a family member. I've heard people say, well, you have other children. Yeah, but that doesn't replace the one. You never replace that. So Job never replaced, although he had other children, it didn't replace the 10 that he lost. That's never replaceable. You can replace donkeys and cows and camels and all that, but you can't replace people. So Job, he was blessed. He went on to have a great life. God did bless him in the end. We know that's true. But the beautiful thing is Job never sinned against God, charging him foolishly. He always trusted him. I'm sure that in the end, if you had asked Job, do you understand why this happened? He'd still say, no, I sure don't. But he still trusted God. And he never allowed that to deter him from doing what he knew was right. Amen. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the order of books is a little bit different than English. In our Bible, the book of Job comes before Psalms. But in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Job comes after Psalms. So, the Psalm 46 through 150 are what we call the Hallel. And each of those, if you remember in your Bible, if you want to just look at it with me real quickly, Psalm 146, turn there, and I want to show you something. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty awesome. Psalm 146 to 150, there's something very notable here. I want you to notice 146, the very first verse, what does it say? It said, praise the Lord. How does it end? Praise the Lord. 147 begins with, praise the Lord. How does it end? Praise the Lord. 148 begins with, praise the Lord. And it ends with, praise the Lord. 150 begins with, praise the Lord. Or 149, it begins with, praise the Lord. 150 begins with, praise the Lord. And it ends with, praise the Lord. Amen. And so, if you were reading in the Hebrew Bible, then that's what you would go from, praise the Lord, and the next thing you would know, read, is the book of Job. Amen. So praise would precede suffering. Amen. But in it all, we have to understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You're going to have some difficulties. And let me end this with Paul's writings here from the book of Romans, chapter 8, 35 to 39. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul was convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Are we convinced? Is our mind made up? Amen. I guess our bottom line is, if you can be separated, I suppose you will. Amen. But if you'll stand true, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.